Acts chapter number 12, and while I'm yet this come after 11, and let me find my place. I got distracted doing something else, and I'm glad you're here. Let's see. Okay, Acts chapter number 12. Now, we finished, when we finished chapter number 11 was like a recap of chapter number 10. And so this is what we're going to find. In chapter number 12, this is going to be Peter's last, to explain this and try to get everybody on the same page. The book of Acts is laid out. The first part is Peter is the main character. He's in a lot of the chapters. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's in 10. And now he's fixing to be in 12. He'll show up one more time in about 5 verses in chapter 15. After chapter 15, you won't see Peter anymore. You won't find Peter anymore in the book of Acts. You'll start seeing the apostle Paul. Paul becomes the main character. And then from 16 all the way out, you'll find Paul is the main character. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, in your Bible, he wrote Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, so on and so forth. And he wrote some of these books during this Acts period. So, you ever heard the phrase, robbing Peter to pay Paul? This is where some of that comes from. In other words, the first part of the book of Acts is Peter. Peter giving the gospel. And so when Paul comes on the scene, we've robbed from Peter to give to Paul. You ever, you already put that together. A lot of those phrases come from the Bible. Now, let's look at the first couple of verses here together. And we'll try to... Oh, I didn't even get the screen on for you, did I? I'll tell you what. I'm just all scattered tonight. Y'all pray for me. Roger said, Roger, you didn't have to agree so fast. I didn't even get the screen on. We'll read while it's warming up anyway. People at home are watching. They're going, man, this guy is scattered. And that's why no hair grows on a busy street. I always remember that. Acts chapter number 12, verse number 1. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, the people of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers. That's 16 men. That's 16 men, soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, let me pause those 4 verses right there and let me comment on a few things. Number 1, you'll notice here it says Herod the king. Now, when you look in the Bible, and I'm going to try to clear this up for you so it's not confusing. There's 4 different Herods in the New Testament, and I've got those for you. There's 4 different Herods in the New Testament. There is Herod the Great. Do y'all remember Herod when Jesus was born? Herod killed all the little boy babies 2 years and under. That was Herod the Great. When Herod the Great passed off the scene, his son took over, which was Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas, do y'all remember Herod cutting off the head of John the Baptist? All right, this was his son, Herod Antipas. Then his son, he took over. His name was Herod. So Herod is sort of like is almost like the term in the Old Testament, Pharaoh. There was a bunch of Pharaohs. When you say Pharaoh and Moses, well, there was a bunch of them. Pharaoh is just a term. So then you got Herod Agrippa. He is the one that killed or beheaded James in chapter 12. Now, there's one more. His son is Herod Agrippa II, and he is the one, do y'all remember Paul? I think it's in Acts 26, he appears before King Agrippa, and King Agrippa says, "Almost thou hast persuaded me to be a Christian." That was the fourth one. So there's four different Herods. So when you read this, just remember that. And so we're dealing with this third one, Herod Agrippa I, that cut off the head of James here in chapter number 12. Now, that brings me to another point. There are more than one James in the Bible. You have James, who was the brother of John, and then you have James, the Lord's brother. You'll find, okay, let me show you this, how confusing this can be if you don't, you know, James is like, the last name Smith, or there's a bunch of people named Charles, and maybe not like ours, but, you know, that kind of thing. So there's more than one. I'll show you. Look at verse 17. Okay? I think it's verse 17. Yeah. Now, remember, James got his head cut off in verse 1 and 2, right? Well, look at verse 17. "But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declaring unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, go show these things unto James." Well, obviously, that's a different one, because this other one don't have a head. So there, when you read, you say, "Oh, the Bible's so confusing." No, you just have to study. So there is James, the son, James Zebedee. He was one of the 12 disciples. He's the one that wrote. Okay, watch this. After you got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all of this that Paul wrote. All to the church, okay? After, let's see, you got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians, Titus, Philemon. Anybody know what the next book is? Hebrews, which is a bunch of Jews. Hebrews, James is next. Then you have 1 and 2 Peter. And then you have 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. Then you got Jude and Revelation. All right? Y'all remember three? Do y'all remember? Can y'all tell me who the three inner circle of the disciples? There you go. Peter, James, and John. All right? Watch this. Peter, Jewish. All the way up, remember? No more Peter. Now it's all Paul. Paul was the apostle to the church, the Gentiles. Romans, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, da 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 da. Then the church is called up. I'm fixing to tear the whole board down. The church is called up. The church, Gentiles, called up. Next book, Hebrews, Jews. James, there's Peter, James, and John. Wrote these books. Jewish books, especially that deals with tribulation and all that kind of stuff. So, I wanted to bring that out because that's a little confusion sometimes. Now, here's something else. I know we ain't read but four verses, but here's something else I want to show you. I've always said through the book of Acts, I have said, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks, Gentiles, seek after wisdom. And what happens? Peter, James, John, all the 12 apostles. 12 is a Jewish number. Starting in the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 12, there's where you have the nation of Israel born. Abraham, his 12 sons, became the 12 patriarchs of the nation of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. Then you come to the New Testament. Jesus appoints 12 Jewish apostles. Now watch. So, the first part of the book of Acts, Jewish, okay? Acts chapter number 1, what is it? Judas. Judas was one of the 12. He dies, right? What do they do in chapter 1? They replace Judas. Why? Because you're down to 11. You have to have 12. Now watch. James is one of the apostles. We're in chapter 12. Do they replace him? Do you see how this thing is shifting? Why did you replace Judas over here to make 12? And now, as these apostles die off, we don't replace them anymore. Why? Because everything is shifting from Jews to... See? Now, it becomes important. Let me show you something. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 12, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, he says this, "Truly, the signs..." Who requires a sign? Jews. "The signs of a apostle were..." Is that past tense? "Were." We're writing here. "Truly, the signs of apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." You see, people's wonder, they ask, they go, "Why doesn't God just, you know, do like he did, and just when we come in church, here's a burning bush right here, right in front of everybody, and that's a big sign, you know, when Moses, I bet you that scared the fool out of him, and a big, you know, the bush is burning and not consumed. Why don't God do that anymore?" Because Jews require a sign. We don't have to have a sign. I have the Word, the completed Word. See, Moses didn't have a Bible to tell the nation of Israel, "Hey, you Jews, turn your Bible to..." They didn't have one. Peter didn't have a Bible in Acts 2 to say, "Hey, y'all turn your Bible to..." He had to perform signs and wonders. So when I come for y'all to believe what Brother Jeremy is saying is true on Sunday morning when I preach, I don't have to handle a rattlesnake and get him to bite me and me live through it for y'all to go, "Oh, he must be telling the truth." No, I say, the Bible says. See the difference? I got the completed Word. And all the apostles are passed off the scene. I'm not an apostle. I don't have the signs of the apostles, but I have something a whole lot better. I have his completed Word. It's a big difference. So, if somebody says, "Well, I'm an..." I know this might upset some of you because, but look, there are no apostles today. If there are, according to Acts chapter 1, to be an apostle, you had to witness the resurrection of Jesus. You had to be baptized by John. I don't know anybody living today that's that old. So anyway. Or, now this is what I love to do. Somebody says, "Brother Jeremy, I'm an apostle." I go find a rattlesnake and hand it to him and say, "Prove it. Put up or shut up. Here's a glass of liquid Drano. Drink that. See if you live through it. If you are, I'll believe you. If not, you know, oh, I can't do that unless I'm in church." Oh, you ain't got the guts enough to do it in church, Jack. Anyway. Okay, where was I? We got down to 4 verses. Hallelujah, we're moving right along. Well, if I hadn't made you mad thus far, we're fixing to, okay? Now, looky here. All right, we got down. Let's see. All right, we done killed James. We cut his head off. Now, that is the, that's what we call a martyr for the cause of Christ. Remember, they cut John the Baptist's head off. They crucified Jesus. Then now they've killed James in chapter number 12. Many people have died in between here for standing for the cause of Christ. Martyrs for the cause of Christ. Now, King Herod. We've got this Herod Agrippa the First killing James here. Now watch. Verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. So he's then arrested Peter. Notice the parentheses. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quintillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring them forth to the people. Now, before I get into this whole prison thing, and I could read that, the story is pretty self-explanatory, so don't think we're never going to get out of chapter 12. Now, I want you to notice two things. There are two different things I'm going to show you. There is Passover, and then Easter. They're not the same. They're two different festivals, holidays, whatever. The Jews celebrate Passover. According to Exodus chapter 12, God comes through the lamp. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ever since Exodus chapter 12, the Jews have observed Passover. It's a Jewish holiday. It is based on the moon. The moon, the cycle of the 29 and a half days that it takes for the moon to rotate around the earth. And so that it can, that is a Jewish month is 29, sometimes 30. It's actually 29 and a half, but sometimes it's 29, sometimes it's 30 as far as their months goes. And it's based upon the moon. Our calendar is based upon the sun. So this is a lunar calendar. This is a solar calendar off of the sun. Now, if I haven't upset you thus far, you might want to buckle your seatbelt, and because we are fixing to give you some information that a lot of people need. This is based off the sun. Passover, Jewish holiday, totally separate. King Herod was appointed by Caesar. He was a Roman. He was a Roman. Roman holidays are pagan. There are pagan holidays. There are a lot of holidays that we have. Now look, I love to have fun and, you know, Christmas, hey, bring me all the gifts you can. Hallelujah. A lot of holidays we have are pagan in origin. They come from Rome. Saint Valentine's Day, Saint Patrick's Day, Saint Nicholas. You with me? Roman pagan holidays. Okay? Easter is no different. Easter was celebrated by, that's why he was waiting, is why you see the word Easter is mentioned in verse 4, is because Easter is a pagan Roman holiday that King Herod was observing. The Jews observe Passover. King Herod was worshiping or observing Easter. It goes back to, I'll tell you, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I am going to just give it to you real quick. But in the Old Testament, it started out with, you'll see it spelt Ishtar, Ashtaroth. I think the Greek is Astare. Anyway, all of them mean the goddess of fertility. The goddess of fertility. Fertility. You ever noticed in Easter, the rabbit lays the eggs? Fertility. What is the symbol? The Playboy bunny. I don't know why Charles knew that. But anyway, we'll talk to Phyllis about that later. All joking aside, that you see the connection. I'm not trying to upset you. I'm trying to give you facts that a lot of people don't realize and understand. the fertility god. And so this Genesis chapter 11, there was a guy by the name of Nimrod. Y'all remember the story of Babel, the Tower of Babel. Well, Nimrod married this woman named Semiramis. And so she had her husband Nimrod killed. And then later on, she winds up pregnant. She tells everybody that she was pregnant immaculately. And she named her son Tammuz, which later became Baal. You might remember in the Old Testament, Baal worship. He was conceived in March, and she gave birth to him in December. Therefore, we have Easter and Christmas. He was conceived on Easter and birthed in December. You see how quiet it is in here? 9 months. Pagan. Have you ever noticed the world? And I'm going to try to help you. The world, pagan religion, always tries to get your mind and focus off of the real thing. Now, here at our church, we don't call it Easter Sunday. We call it Resurrection Sunday because that's what it's all about. And the pagan stuff, you know, the coloring of the eggs. And look, if you do that with your kid, perfect. Hey, we did it too. I'm all for kids having fun. Good night. Hallelujah. Just make sure they know the resurrection of Jesus Christ and not some stupid Cadbury bunny laying Cadbury eggs. Has nothing to do with the resurrection of Christ. Has to do with a lot of pagan religion. Saint Nicholas. Ain't no kids in here, is it? Saint Nicholas. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. He's trying to take the place of... See? You have to be careful about that stuff. Now, the reason it's so quiet in here is because people, they don't like that. But the emphasis is Christ. I promise you, I can promise you, Jesus was not born on December the 25th. We celebrate it then. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Whatever. It's great. Celebrate the birth. Celebrate the resurrection of Christ. All that kind of stuff. But please keep it separate. You have the Bible, and then you have the replacement, what the world wants you to get your focus off of, the Bible. Do you see it? It's very important that we always keep the main thing, the main thing. King Herod was celebrating Ishtar. Easter. And there she is. Let's see. Yeah, there she is again. There's her and her. And his name was changed to Baal. And what they did in Jeremiah chapter 10. Are y'all ready for this one? What month is this? November? Oh, it's a good time to bring this up. In Jeremiah chapter 10, to worship. Y'all not ready for this. Y'all did come here to get the truth, didn't you? Y'all don't want me to sugarcoat it, do you? Y'all see that little boy right there? His name is Baal. Semiramis, she was married to Nimrod, Genesis chapter 11. And to worship him, they would, Jeremiah chapter 10, in the Bible, they'd cut down a fir tree, an evergreen tree, and they decked it with silver and gold and just read it for yourself. Don't take Brother Jeremy's word for it. Have you ever noticed it? I might as well, I made some of you mad. I'm going to go ahead and make the rest of you mad. You say, I don't worship no, you know. You ever wondered when you put gifts under the tree, you have to... Well, what time is it? All right. Y'all still love me? All right. Let's look at... And you can do some more research on that. I ain't got time to teach it all. But anyway. All right. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, has kept it. Now, the rest of this, you're going to love. You're going to laugh. It's going to be good. And we get our minds off this other truth that we just received. And you'll go home and put your Christmas tree up. Hallelujah. Now, don't worry. I've tried to get out. I mean, I've preached this in my own house, and it don't do my wife. She needs to get Jesus. And she'll put three or four of them in the house, you know. Anyway. All right. Verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, this is a great story. Watch this. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. Peter's in a dead sleep. Now, here's something I want to point out to you. He's already seen James get his head cut off, right? He knows in the morning Peter's going to get his head cut off. Would you be sleeping? Peter trusted God so much, he's like, go sleep. I ain't worried about this. I'm not worried about this a bit. I'm going to sleep. Matter of fact, the angel of the Lord come in the room, had to punch him in the side to wake him up. He's bound, got two soldiers on both sides. Verse 7, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, the light shone in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did, and he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out, followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So Peter thinks, you know how when you wake up, you know, you're like, and he thinks he's dreaming. His chains are gone. He's been freed. He's done put his coat on, and he's done walked out of this prison unnoticed, undetected by anybody. And so he's trying to get the sleep out of his eyes, and he thought he was in a vision. Verse 10. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. They just walk upon the gate, and the gate opens wide. They just walk on through. Of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now, before I read verse 11, you say, okay, that's a great story and all that. What significance? Now watch. I want you to see salvation in that right there. Peter was in bondage from King Herod the devil. Picture. The devil has Peter in bondage, in chains. All right? Peter is asleep. Spiritually asleep. And God himself, Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord, walks into the room. Wakes him up. Y'all remember when you were sitting in church and you were just woke up by the preaching or the word of God, and it was almost like, boom, Peter wakes up. He gets on the whole armor of God. He's been set free. Chains are gone. He puts on his clothes, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all to stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, please, so on and so forth. He walks out of prison and he's free. And the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's salvation right there. That's a picture of salvation. Now, verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, John Mark. Now, here's something else that's confusing. Let me say this. This is Mary, the mother of John Mark. There are a lot of Marys in the Bible. There's Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary, the mother of John Mark, Mary from the city of Bethany, which was what? Lazarus' sister. Mary Magdalene. All of them were different. And so this one is Mary, the mother of John Mark. All right? Now it's fixing to get funny. You're going to love this. And when he had considered, verse 12, the thing, he came to the house of Mary, mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So they're gathered together in somebody's house. They know James has done lost his head. Now Peter's in prison. The church is gathered together. They're praying. They're not necessarily praying that Peter would get released. They're praying that Peter would be faithful unto death and wouldn't deny the Lord like he's been known to do. And boy, they're really praying for Peter. All right, verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. She didn't even let him in. She was so excited that Peter was standing out, she forgot to let him in. She gets so excited, she goes back into the house to tell everybody, hey, Peter's out there. And everybody's thinking, well, why didn't you let him in? Now, maybe you didn't think that was as funny as I did, but I mean, the guy just got out of prison. He's sitting there knocking on the door. She comes to the door, sees it's Peter, and she gets, whoo, go excited. She forgets to let him in, goes inside and says, hey, Peter's out there. Well, why didn't you let him in? Verse 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in, told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, lady, you're crazy. Ain't no way Peter's out there. That's what it means in the Greek. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Well, it can't be him, so they must have killed him in prison. And now his ghost is out there. You know. Verse 16. Now this is funny. But Peter continued. Would y'all let me in? Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James. Remember, that's James, the Lord's brother now. Not the James that lost his head. There's another one. Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. In other words, the soldiers wake up, Peter's not there, and they don't know where he's gone. And now their life's in jeopardy because Herod's probably going to kill them for losing a big prisoner. Verse 19. So when it says there was no small stir, if it wasn't a small stir, what was it? A big one. Verse 19. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. Look at there. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. Now watch this, and we're almost, see, I told you. Most of all that's self-explanatory. Now here is the last part of this. Verse 20. And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desiring peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in purple apparel, sat upon his throne and made a oration unto them. In other words, Herod came down. Of course, he's having a little trouble out of these couple cities, this couple provinces, Tyre and Sidon, and he's having a little trouble. So he goes down there to sort of calm the people. He's all dressed up in his stuff, and he's got his crown on his head, all his purple. He sits down on the throne. He's got a big speech, you know, prepared. You say, well, what kind of speech is that? That oration. Well, a lot of the stuff that you've heard today on television, it's what I call a lot of balloon juice. You know what balloon juice is? It's hot air. Okay, that didn't go over too good anyway. All right. Verse 22. And the people gave a shout saying, now they're talking about Herod, King Herod. It is the voice of a God and not of a man. Well, don't you know King Herod? He's like, that chest built up. He's like, they called me a God. Watch. Verse 23. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. That's John Mark. We read about his mom a while ago. Now, let me give you this, and we'll be done. Everything in the Bible has a prophetic meaning. Now watch this. Peter, a Jew, he's in prison. He's bound. Herod, let's just watch this. Let me try to paint a picture. Herod, let's picture him as the Antichrist. He's the devil, the Antichrist. He's put a Jew in prison. Now watch. In the middle of the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and try to kill and put as many Jews into prison in the tribulation. King Herod, Peter in prison. The angel of the Lord shows up, delivers the Jew out of prison, and when he does, the angel of the Lord smites the Antichrist, just like the angel of the Lord did King Herod. You see that? And the Jew is free to go in the kingdom. Does everybody see that? That's a prophetic thing. What's going on in 12? A Jew, Peter's in prison. This picture of the nation of Israel being in prison, tribulation period. Mocked by King Herod, the Antichrist. Here's the angel of the Lord, Jesus. Revelation chapter number 19. He comes, delivers the Jew out of the hand of the enemy. Delivers him out. Frees him. And then he kills the Antichrist. The angel of the Lord smote King Herod right where he stood. Right there. No more Antichrist. And we go in the kingdom. And that is Acts chapter number 12.